This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. You're tuned in to Tapped Out. Hosted by Brendan Tobin and Sean Levine. Only on the BetQL Network.
Welcome into the show with producer Jake Nowaker and my co-host Brendan Tobin. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, and we're here to talk a little fighting and make a little money. It's Tapped Out right here on the BetQL Network. Let's go right on to the fights, because we got a lot of announcements, man. UFC Saudi coming up here in a couple of months, and they're giving us a banger of a main event. Friend of the show, Robert the Reaper Whittaker, is going to take on Khamzat Chimaev. You want to talk about a couple of guys that are absolute killers, and we're going to find out really which one is at the top of their game. What do you think about the Whittaker-Chimaev announcement?
I love it. I love the matchup. I love giving Khamzat, you know, tougher and tougher tests, and especially the last way, you know, Whittaker looked the last time around, you know, go and give him something that, you know, kind of gets the juices flowing. So I'm all for it. I love the matchup. I love to see, you know, Khamzat really go up against a true middleweight, which I guess we're finally, you know, going with, all right, this is going to be his weight class. And you take on a guy who, yeah, if you beat him, there's no doubt about it. Just like DDP did, we know that you're deserving of being in the title shot. So Whittaker is probably, I guess, the most elite gatekeeper there is in the sport right now. And so very excited about it. You know, I'm going to be curious if Whittaker stays a dog or how long he stays a dog through all this, because I do feel like if you get him, even if it's a slight, I think right now it's like plus 140 as it came out, I might hop on it, because I feel like more people are going to hop on him as the fight gets closer. But maybe Khamzat does something fight week that draws more people to him. But man, you get Whittaker at that number, and I don't know, there's just something with Khamzat, man. Like, I'm not ready to crown him as this can't miss guy yet.
I'm with you. His wrestling is great. His striking has questions. But did you call the Reaper a gatekeeper? He's a former champion.
Most elite gatekeeper. That's what I said.
That's better.
Don't miss the adjectives that I said.
Okay.
Because it's the truth. Right now, he's the most elite gatekeeper there is, because he's lost to Israel Adesanya. He's lost to DDP. You know, so what else do you want me to call him? Like, I don't mean it as a disparaging remark. It's just the facts. He's in a very tough situation.
Do you think Khamzat will ever have the credentials that Robert Whittaker currently does? Because it feels like a couple of years ago, that was a foregone conclusion, and Khamzat was going to be champion. He was going to be double champion. He was going to kill all these people. I kill everybody! And now I'm with you. It's like, win this one, and then I'll start to give you the flowers that everybody else has.
I don't want to say no, because, you know, there's part of me that feels like we were doing this a little bit with O'Malley, but I do want, like, I do think it's time. Like, we're at that time where it's like, all right, you've had some interesting matchups. You've gotten some fortune to break your way because of how you waited on a scale. Then you got to take on Kamaru Usman and in Usman going up to middleweight. So you've had a lot. He's had a lot of fortunate things go his way. It's kind of like it's like one of those BCS things. It's like, all right, or not BCS, because it's college football playoff now, but it's like, all right, this team that has this flashy record and is kind of, now you get to go against Georgia. Let's see what it's about.
Brendan Tobin, sports machine Sean Levine here on the BetQL Network, talking about some fights coming up in the octagon, UFC 305, so still a little bit down the road. First of all, that's taking place in Australia. How is the 305 not in Miami? I mean, they screwed this one up royally, but I digress, because it looks like we're going to get Dricus du Plessis defending his belt versus Israel I did, Sonia. Let's say I'm right and that fight goes down. Let's say that fight is even money for the sake of this conversation. What's your early lean?
I'm still not ready to write off Stylebender. I think that he can get the belt back against DDP. And look, DDP and Sean Strickland was very good. Strickland's pissed about it. I mean, he thinks that he's like saying he should go over to boxing after this because he's so outraged. He's not getting the rematch. And I think we kind of know why now. Like, it's, first of all, this is a grudge match we've been very much waiting for. These guys really don't like each other. A lot of disparaging comments between the both of them, between DDP and Stylebender. But, you know, there's just something about Izzy with, you know, him taking a little time off, getting himself right. I just don't see him coming out and having a dud in the title fight again. He just is so damn good. And I think he's going to get his belt back.
Yeah, Izzy's in a weird spot because obviously one of the all-time greats, kind of like Usman at a little bit of a crossroads right now, where if things go right, maybe, I mean, you could still have a belt and hold on to it and defend it a couple of times. But if Izzy loses this fight, he's in a real crazy situation. I think he wins, and I think he knocks him out, but who knows? UFC St. Louis, I'll be at that one. That one's just a few hours away from where I live. That's coming up May 11th. We get Rogério Nascimento, maybe I said that right, versus Derek Lewis. I know I said that right, half of the main event. I wasn't going to go. I was like, screw it. They came to Kansas City not too long ago. I'm not going to make the four-hour drive. Until they told me the Black Beast was half of the main event. And I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, you got to see the Orca in person.
That's the thing. He better win, damn it. If I make the drive to and from to a place like St. Louis, and I'm not saying it's a dump, but it's kind of like the way you talk about Jacksonville. It's just another city.
Wow, is that what it's like?
It is. It's a little bit, yeah, it's there. It's fine. I know some good people, whatever. Don't have a lot of nice stuff to say about St. Louis. It's okay. The Arch? I'm being serious right now. Have you ever been inside the Arch?
No.
It is the worst national monument in the entire country.
Wow.
Dude, so dumb. On the outside, it's fine. But you can go up inside of it to the top, and they've got the same technology as the first time I rode up in it in like 1989. It is brutal. Absolutely stomach nauseating. Anyway, you think Derek Lewis wins the fight in St. Louis? Do I get to see the Orca?
Yeah, just because I feel like you're going to bring him the good karma, I'm going to say you're going to get to see the Orca. And Jake points out Joaquin Buckley, after his win last week, he wants on that card. Probably he could even leapfrog him, like get a little hometown rub. So that'd be kind of cool too.
I made a lot of Joaquin Buckley money on Saturday night when he knocked out Vicente Luque. In fact, boys, and we'll get to all this in a minute, because last Saturday I made more UFC money than I ever had in one night. Your boy was hitting, dude. I was on fire. And certainly some of that was because, well, Nate the Train in the UFC, baby. All right, now you got me too excited. Let's get to one more thing, and then we'll get to what happened last Saturday night in Jersey. Producer Jake was in the house. Sean O'Malley, Merab, looks like they're going to go at it probably in September. I don't know why you hate the Las Vegas Sphere, but that's where O'Malley wants the fight to happen.
I don't hate the Sphere. I just don't get the obsession. Like, IMAX theaters have been out for a very long time. I don't understand how that's going to make, like, if I went to a concert, I would get it. I don't understand how it's going to make the fight experience better for the TV viewer. If you're going there, I can understand why you think it would be cool. But I don't really understand for us at home, but maybe I'll see. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just like, I'm not that into the Sphere. It's not that thrilling to me. Like, I've seen pictures of it. It's like, oh, look, it's an aquarium on the walls. It's like, all right, I saw this back in 1997.
Wow, this guy, awful hard to please. To me, it's like the greatest building on planet Earth. And to him, I saw this in 1997. All right. Last Saturday in Jersey, in the main event, it was Manuel Fiorot over Aaron Blanchfield. Surprised me just a little bit. I didn't put a lot of money on that one because I'd already made a lot of money that night. Let's get to the fight that I hit on. Joaquin Buckley by knockout over Vicente Luque. We all called that one, right? Because I remember you talking about you can't make a ton of money on it. It was only, I think, plus 250, plus 275. But Joaquin Buckley knocked his ass out.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there's a little bit of worry about where Luque is at right now in his career. That's another one where, like, he was always this secret boogeyman of the division. Everybody's like, oh, you know, he can finish you with subs and knockouts. And, you know, now he's looking a little bit weathered. And, you know, it was a great performance by Buckley. Look, he's one of the, he's very, very talented as a striker. He's explosive. You're never going to not tune into his fights. When you have one of the greatest video game knockouts we've ever seen. You're always going to be interested to see if he can either do it again or what he's going to pull off.
And just when you're built like that and you walk guys down, it's fun to have money on Joaquin Buckley by knockout. It feels like he's a hunter about to catch his prey the entire fight. And sometimes that means that he gets knocked out. Like, you know, it goes the other way also. But that was one of those fights as it was going along where I was like, okay, dude, I'm about to win this one. He kept walking him down. He kept finding his chin. And then eventually, I mean, dude, he put him to sleep. I don't know. Are we calling it a knockout in the Chris Weidman fight? So Chris Weidman beat Bruno Silva. If you watched it, you're probably a little bit confused because they did officially call it a knockout, right? It took Bruce a while to tell us what it was. Bruno Silva got poked in the eye. I don't know if you've seen
it was brutal.
The footage afterward multiple times, and he kept complaining about it. And he says they got poked in the eye on the knockout, got up immediately and complained. And if you've seen the slow-mo footage of the fight or the pictures of Bruno Silva since, he did, dude, a brutal eye poke. So I guess I'll still pat Weidman on the back. He looked pretty good.
Good. It's good, I guess, that this gets to go on a little bit for him. Here's the thing that's crazy, man. You know, we had Big John on last week, Big John McCarthy. And you know what the funny thing is? We were talking about Bitegate, obviously. And he had revealed that he's like, yeah, do you remember like back when you first were in the UFC? Biting was legal, but eye gouging was not. You cannot groin strike and you cannot eye gouge. And it's weird that we're in this spot in the sport where they still haven't done anything to fix this with the gloves. Nothing. Like in the UFC to deter these guys from having their fingers out. And it just feels too often, you know, think about, you know, Bilal Muhammad and Leon Edwards or whatever fight you want to mention, how much this happens and
John
how much
Jones every fight.
Yeah. It's so strange to me that we're at this point where you have these guys who train everything. They got to defend everything. The one thing you would hope they could go in there is, hey, don't have your eye get poked. It's one of the only two things that have been illegal in the sport since the inception of the sport. And yet we've done something about groin strikes and we've done something about biting. We've disqualified somebody, but with this, it's always just, oh, it's always up in the air and there's always a caveat. How have they not done anything about this? It's crazy.
Other promotions use better gloves where this doesn't happen. Like in Bellator and PFL and a lot of even smaller promotions, the regional ones. So if you don't know, if you're just kind of a casual fan listening to us, we appreciate it. BetQL Network tapped out. The gloves in the UFC, the fingers basically, they allow a ton of movement, right? Like, and certainly allow your fingers to go completely straight. Opposed to these other organizations where it's kind of bent downward. It still happens, but not nearly as much. I'm with you. Multi-billion dollar organization. We're all waiting for this fight to happen. We build it up. We do radio shows about it. We travel to go see it. And then it ends in an eye poke. It just doesn't have to happen.
Well, it's just a weird thing too, because, you know, I mean, I assume Venom makes the gloves too, because they make the kit. Sure. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well, they do.
But like they make great gloves. I don't like, they're probably sitting there like, hey, we got, you know, if you want to do it. Every single year, the NFL meets and they talk about what tackles they're taking out or how to make things a little bit safer or how to tweak things so dumb results don't happen. This is one where it's just like, what are we doing with this? Why does this continue to happen? And it's just like you're relying on an official who has to go, hey, fingers, which is so ridiculous. Like, this guy's got to watch out for a head kick. He's got to watch out for feints. He's got to watch out for combinations. But also I got to make sure, hey, his fingers are in the right place. It's just, it's really, really stupid.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard to see eye pokes, to your point. I also made some money when Kyle Nelson knocked out Bill Algeo. That's what happens when you come to Kansas City, step in the octagon and talk smack. I bet on your ass to get knocked out. And he did. Sorry, Jake. I know that's a friend of yours. And then, dude, my favorite fighter in the UFC right now.
Star of the weekend.
You asked me this last week. You're like, are you a bigger fan of Aspinall or Nate Landwehr? And I couldn't decide. And I kind of like gave you a split Switzerland type answer. After Saturday night, dude, my favorite fighter in the UFC is Nate Train Landwehr. And it's not even close. So he knocked out Jamal Emmers in the first round. He was losing the fight. Like, Nate was getting beat up pretty good, came in as an underdog. I bet him to win as an underdog. I bet him to win by knockout. I sprinkled a little bit by submission just because you told me that that's what you were going to play. So I wanted to be able to text you, but that didn't happen. I don't give a damn. because we made a lot of money on that fight. I'm not saying Nate the Train is technically the best fighter in the world, but dead serious, is there anybody more fun to watch right now? Like, talk about Nick Diaz vibes. This guy's got a lot of them.
Yeah, it's a great call. Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler. Like, he's just a raw fighter.
Yes.
And then it's just like, you can just tell he's so 100% himself on the mic. He doesn't really have a ton to say, but it doesn't matter because he could just say, Nate the Train, woo. Yeah. And we're all just like, yes, he did the thing.
Dude, I ran around my house yelling Nate the Train in the UFC for at least 20 minutes. The neighbors came out. They were like, everything good? I go, everything's great. Nate the Train in the UFC. All right, coming up next. Since we can't seem to get along, let's get it on. You're going to fight me right here on the BetQL Network.
We're back with more Tapped Out with Brendan Tobin and Sean Levine on the BetQL Network.
Well, we've been looking forward to UFC 300 for a while. Let's preview that and talk a little bit about Saturday night's fights. That's UFC Vegas 90. Welcome back into the show, Brendan Tobin, Sports Machine Sean Levine, Tapped Out on the BetQL Network. UFC Las Vegas 90 on Saturday night. If you look at it and you're like, what's going on with this card? It kind of sucks. Who are these guys and gals? Dude, they've had 9 fights fall through for Saturday night. 9 separate fights.
That's brutal.
Falling apart, including our main event. So right now we're left with, that's rude. Right now we've got Brendan Allen -210, a favorite versus Chris Curtis. I always take Chris Curtis by knockout. You can give him to win the fight at +170. I'm not saying the wrong guy's favored. I'm just saying I'm playing the underdog.
Well, look, I mean, you know, with him, he's done that before. He's beaten Brendan Allen and he's finished him. So if you're going to play value on it, it's not a bad place to be. Also, with Brendan Allen, like, man, the guy's just such a wizard with his submission game. And it's odd when you go into method odds and he is, you know, it's better odds to get him by sub than it's worse odds to get him by sub than it is to get him by decision. That's just a very odd thing. Typically, like, it's plus, I think, 175 for him to win by submission, and maybe like plus, let me get the exact numbers up here. I don't want to just,
I don't think I've ever seen what you're talking about.
It's great. It's a very weird thing. You don't typically see this. Normally,
maybe
guys
maybe a Bo Nickel fight.
Yeah.
More likely to obviously be finished in a sub, but that's pretty rare to go to the cards, but that's pretty damn rare.
Yeah.
It is in clash winning, of styles, though.
Winning method, you can get Allen. He's +375 for decision, +600 by KO, plus sub, +145.
Wow, that is wild. What can I get Chris Curtis by knockout, just out of curiosity?
Chris Curtis by knockout is 3-1, +300. Him by decisions, +700.
Wow, that could definitely happen too.
Chris Curtis by sub is +2200.
Yeah, that ain't happening. But there's a lot of money to be made on Chris Curtis in this fight. I might play that 3 ways now that I know the numbers. I might look at him to win the fight straight up, maybe to go to the cards because I like the value. And I've won a bunch of money over the years taking Chris Curtis by knockout. You know I got to play a little bit on that.
And this is his sweet spot too. Like, him being the replacement fighter, like, exactly. He's like, I've been doing a lot of football now, as you say. I don't know why. I guess that was, it's all the trade news that are going on in the NFL. But like, you remember Matt Moore? You had Matt Moore and KC for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Would you agree with me on this? Matt Moore with a week of practice stinks. You never want Matt Moore with a week of practice. But Matt Moore comes in, maybe your QB gets hurt second quarter. Duh. Matt Moore's putting up 3 touchdowns. It's just how it's going to be. Some QBs are just better coming off the bench with no notice. I feel like Chris Curtis is a little bit more dangerous when he doesn't have the notice. He could just waltz right in there and he knows, hey, I know what I got to do. I just got to hammer away. It's a guy I've beaten before, Brendan Allen. He obviously wants to get this blemish off his resume. So maybe Chris Curtis is our Matt Moore.
Wow. I had 150-1 odds that we would talk about former Chiefs and Dolphins backup quarterback Matt Moore today, so I can cash that ticket. That feels good. Norma Dumont versus Jermaine Durandamé. Again, I like the underdog. You can get GDR right now at +145. And then Charlie Campbell -200 versus Trevor Peak. Again, I'm playing the dog. Trevor Peak is kind of – he's like a Charles Oliveira, Alexander Volkanovski type guy when it comes to trying to pin the odds on him. I was looking at – his odds, his last few fights, and he goes off either as a pretty heavy favorite or a pretty sizable underdog, and almost every time they get it wrong, he comes in throwing blows. He's obviously got the knockout power. Trevor Peak at +165 and Trevor Peak by knockout sound pretty good to me on Saturday night.
If you want to go Peak and Chris Curtis, parlay them together, +560.
Let's get parlayed, baby. That sounds great to me, and actually, I think that's pretty good value, as in I think both guys should probably be pick them, and they're both the underdog in their respective fights. Who you like in the Peak Campbell fight?
I'm with you. I'm going. I think the dog is, I like Peak there. I think I'm going to go with Brendan Allen to avenge Chris Curtis, even with my Matt Moore analogy. But Peak I like.
All right. Now that we've got that fight card taken care of, UFC 300 is an unbelievable card, up and down. We've been talking about it for a long time. Next week's show is going to be an awful lot of fun because we'll give you the method to madness and which fights we think are going to get finished and who we think are going to win. And we'll parlay some fights together. But let's talk about some of these on the main card for a few minutes. We got Armand Sarukian at minus 225 versus Charles Oliveira at plus 185. I'm looking at a bunch of props here, and it looks pretty good to me to take Charles Oliveira to finish the fight. Not only is he an underdog, but I can get good value, 3, maybe 4 to 1 value on him to finish this fight. I like him with my sub. Obviously, he has the knockout power also. I'm not shocked that Sarukian's favored to win the fight. I'm shocked that he's that big of a favorite. Like, what am I missing for Charles Oliveira to be a 2 to 1 underdog against anybody?
I don't know, man. Like, look, we talked a little bit about this in the lead up to this fight. And we talk about this a lot with Charles Oliveira, is that he's one of the weirdest fighters that the bookmakers ever go with, because it just always feels like they're going one wide swing or the other, and they never can quite get a handle on it. But this is one of those where, you know, we just saw the Poirier Benoit Saint Denis, where they were kind of crowning the young gun, and Sarukian, yeah, he's got a little bit more experience. He's been in the UFC forever than Benoit does. But I just think it's a big ask, man. It's a big leap up. You have a guy who's got a lot of ways to finish. He's been in there with some of the most dangerous guys in the world. Never been finished. So, you know, there's that. You know, you have that confidence going in there. And, you know, his losses to Gamrot and to Islam, I mean, people think that, you know, he's given Islam he gave Islam some business in there. You know, he obviously thinks that. He wants to get another crack at him when he's not a child. So I think there's a lot on the line for Sarukian in this one, for sure, with that in his back pocket. But I mean, you're getting Charles Oliveira at that kind of value. How do you pass that up?
Brendan, we've been doing this show for a while. I've never been so confident for a plus 185 underdog. I know that Oliveira is my guy. I love those sharp elbows. The fact he can choke you out. He's like the snake with the mouse, man. Like, once he catches you, the fight is over with. And I'm looking at his resume. This man has won 12 out of his last 13 fights. It's not like he's coming off a loss. Like, when we talk about Volkanovski, we always say the same thing. He's great, one of the best. But now that he's coming off a loss, what's he going to look like? Don't forget, the last time that we saw Charles Oliveira, he took out Beneil Dariush. His only loss since 2017 was against a guy you've probably heard of named Islam Makhachev. And look, Islam is the real deal. He might be the best fighter right now going in the entire promotion. And sometimes we have off nights. And I'm not saying Oliveira had an off night, but just for the sake of conversation, let's say he did. He wasn't at his best that night. Dude, he's won every single fight that he's gotten in, including a fight versus Dariush and Poirier and Gaethje and Chandler and Tony Ferguson in his prime. I might have to empty my bank account. If it stays like it is right now, Charles Oliveira plus 185, I don't think I'm going to get too creative and try to figure out how exactly the fight's going to finish. I'm just going to make that 2 to 1 money.
I'm with you, man. I look, it's nothing against Sarukian. It's really just, you're getting one of the best fighters ever. You're getting one of the best fighters for sure over the last 5 years.
Still in his prime. That's the thing. The odds tell me that he's coming out of his prime. These are kind of maybe what you would do with the last time that we saw Usman fight. It was like, okay, I get it. I understand why he's an underdog, because you could see him starting to slide a little bit. I haven't seen any sort of a slide from Charles Oliveira. All right, talking about props, UFC 300. Bo Nickel right now is minus 2,500. Cody Brundage, the biggest underdog on the main card, at plus 1050. Would you bet this fight? One that we've made money on in the past is gone in 60 seconds. It's tempting to do. I don't think this one goes any longer than 2 minutes.
This is one, yeah, I can't wait to see what the method odds are. Like, Bo Nickel's one of the fun fighters, because, yeah, like, you people look at this and they're like, oh, well, why is he on the main event? And the main, it's because he's a show. Like, we want to see, can anybody really test the guy, or will he just do something completely dominant? And that's the fun of it. And yeah, you can make some fun money and stuff like that, because he's kind of the, he's like MMA Tyson right now. Like you just, you don't know. It's not how he's going to win. It's how long is it going to take him to go out there and win. And so it's fun. It's a fun way to make a little bit of money. If you like that, let's just say you're coming in for UFC 300 that night. Think of it a little bit like the Super Bowl where there's a lot of prop bets. What is the Gatorade color? How many times are they going to show Taylor Swift? This is a fun one. Like you know, all these matchups, there's going to be some really hard competitive fights to pick. Cody Brundage, no disrespect, but we're all going to be like, all right, how fast? And then maybe you think like, hey, Cody Brundage is a little more durable than we think. And you want, you'll probably get some good damn value on it. If you think how long is he going to be able to last? It's going to look like, you know, Jackie Moon against the grizzly bear, but you know, like let's see it, man. I'm excited for it.
If Brundage is still there in the second round, I will stand up off my couch and give him a standing ovation. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. Well, at that point, I may have had a couple of pops because we're talking about what? 1, 2, 3. We're talking about what, 12 fights are happening before that one. So, excuse me. I'll be feeling pretty good. We talked about some of the props in the BMF fight earlier. Gaethje Holloway right now, the odds. Gaethje the favorite, minus 210. Holloway plus 175. You, I don't know what you were on earlier in the show. You said you think that Holloway is going to knock Gaethje out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Gaethje is going to knock out Max, but I think it's much more likely to happen. Do the odds look right to you right now? Because to me, it probably should be a little bit closer. Gaethje maybe minus 150, Max at even money. Max at plus 175 is pretty good value.
I think it's great value too. I think it's just a respect to the run Gaethje's on. You head kick Dustin Poirier, like, people should be, and we're all talking Poirier might be able to leapfrog these guys to a title shot. So it's just a respect for where Gaethje's at right now. He is very dangerous. I'm just looking at Max Holloway. I just think like every time we write Max Holloway or we think, yeah, you know, this is a little bit too much. I liked hearing him this week where he's like, you know, people who write me, it's like the biggest mistake ever. So I don't know, Max Holloway for a guy who's always very relaxed and, you know, kind of goes with the flow. He seems like he's got a little bit of an edge going into this. Like he's got something to prove. I think he wants to get back to that mountaintop. And again, like these are great nights and it's so rare that you like will get a guy, Max Holloway. It's nothing against Justin Gaethje. Just think that, man, Max Holloway is that juicy that night. I'm into that.
The co-main event, interesting odds also, because you can get Yan Xiaonan right now at plus 300. Now she's taking on Zhan Weili, who's minus 400. I was thinking about this when I couldn't sleep the other night. That's what I do. I don't count sheep. I think about fighting. And
understandable.
They need Weili to go out there and have an impressive performance because the women's side right now is really lacking stars. Like, it feels like Rose isn't at the top of her game. And friend of the show, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, stepped out of the limelight a couple of years ago, going to the Hall of Fame, though. Congratulations. And Ronda ain't coming back, and Amanda ain't coming back, and Valentina. What I'm trying to tell you is it feels like Zhang Weili is kind of all we got right now. If we're talking about superstars on the women's side, I'd like to see her go out there and win this fight so she keeps the crown.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with any of the points that you're making. And I think you probably look to this night if you're looking for the face, the next face of women's MMA. You know, Kayla Harrison's going to be making her UFC debut. Going to be very interesting to see, you know, what she looks like going to bantamweight because
I don't know how she's going to make that weight cut, dude.
She looks good, man. I mean, you know, her, I still don't understand. Even her biceps, you know, are bigger than her head, but she looks like she's been doing it the right way seamlessly. Like, this is an Olympian. She knows how to do it. I got to tell you, though, you know, it's an interesting one, you know, because I'll give you credit. You brought this Ronda Rousey thing out of nowhere. We don't have much time to rub in it, but you know, she's been doing a lot of press for this book. You know, Kayla Harrison, you know what her move should be? She goes out there, she ragdolls Holly Holm. She should call out Ronda Rousey.
That's the place to go nuts.
Oh, just call her out. Call her out off the couch. Let's see what it goes. Two judo Olympians. You know, you're going old new. Like, that would be the move.
I'd like Ronda to be in the house, get her in the cage. Brock Lesnar, Daniel.
Got a book to sell.
Style. Let's go. That'd be incredible. And you know, now they've got like the W, you can get the wrestling connections. I suppose it could happen. All right. Real quick, we got like a minute left. We talked about the Pereira Jamahal Hill fight. Great fight, but not necessarily the cherry on top of the ice cream that we were hoping to see. Jamahal Hill at plus 115. I'm just playing Alex Pereira by knockout because I always play Alex Pereira by knockout.
Yeah, look, we were talking about the opening fight. Will somebody get knocked out? Like, this is one, yeah, for sure. I feel like if this goes the distance, man, it's going to be an all-time classic, but feels like somebody is definitely going to sleep. I'm going to go Hill. The only thing that really worries me is the injury, but as far as just natural power, look, we've seen that Pajeda can get got. So I would go, I'm going Sweet Dreams, man.
It does kind of feel like they did that on purpose, doesn't it? Like, now we got Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill in the main event. That's it for the show. That one flew by. For producer Jake Nowaker and my co-host Brendan Tobin, I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. Next week's going to be fun, UFC 300, and we'll catch you right here on Tapped Out.
Sean Levine will step into the cage with Brendan Tobin in Are You Gonna Fight Me?
I'm gonna fight your
here on Tapped Out.
That's right, fight me like a man.
Only on the BetQL Network.
You know the rules. I want a good, clean fight. When I tell you to break, I want you to step back out my command and break. And go back to the corner and come out fighting at the bell.
Saturday is UFC 300 in Las Vegas. Of course, that means we're going to see Justin Gaethje fighting Max Holloway. Max Holloway's never been knocked down. That means he's also never been knocked out. But I got to say that again. Max Holloway in his career has never even been knocked down. Are you going to fight me if I say in the BMF fight, Justin Gaethje's definitely going to knock his ass down?
I am going to fight you, dude. I am so into swole Max Holloway. You know, like, you know, the daddest man alive now has his dad muscles going on. I love himself filling out at lightweight and doing this. It seems like the proper way. I'm most intrigued to see what this Max Holloway looks like, because maybe he doesn't look it. Maybe it backfires. Maybe, you know, he's not as fluid or whatever, but maybe he's just even more of a monster. I mean, you know, it's just it's so many questions, because this guy is just such a talented fighter. He is so fun to watch, and just feels like every time you're ready to just kind of write him off, he does something that's just like, well, that was stupid. And I don't think he's got, there's part of me that's like, I think he's going to get the knockout this week of next week of Justin Gaethje.
What? So the best is blessed, and blessed is big. If you haven't seen him, you think he's going to knock out Justin Gaethje? Now, could Gaethje go in there and put his head down, then meet in the middle and take one on the, yeah, of course he could. He's Justin Gaethje. But if I gave you $3 million and I said, somebody's getting knocked out, who you putting on?
For a 5-round fight, I'm going to pick Max Holloway.
I'll be damned. Wow.
I mean, see, here's the thing. You're acting like that's a shock, but we've seen Justin Gaethje get knocked out many times. We've seen it.
When was the last time we saw Max Holloway knock somebody out?
When is the last finish that he had?
It's been a minute. I'm talking about like.
But he's bigger now, dude.
And Max has put on some crazy, like, remember his fight versus Calvin Kattar, where he set the record for landed strikes?
And they probably should have stopped that fight, though, in fairness.
And a couple of the fights versus Volkanovski, like, yeah, the guy can obviously strike, but all those went the distance. And that's kind of what he does. You can get Max by knockout.
Oh, we just knocked out Korean Zombie.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. All right. You 10-8 me. And that was a cool knockout. That was, how did I forget that one?
That was one of the, well, you don't want to know why, because whenever I think of that night, I don't even think about the win. I think about Korean Zombie's walkout where everybody's singing the Cranberries to him. That's Goosey's.
I appreciate you defending me, but I'm an idiot. After looking up and down UFC 300, and I think you and I agree, the BMF is the most fun fight. And it's a great card. And even just to open it, when you look at a fight like Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt, great card. Fan friendly, got to bet on all the fights, got to watch it for all 5, 6, 7 hours. But then I look at the top and it's Jamahal Hill versus Alex Pereira. The more that I think about it, are you going to fight me if I say, I do kind of think we're missing a giant fight? It's a great card, but next Saturday night, a week from Saturday, when the main event comes around, it's just going to feel like everything else. You going to fight me?
I just, the thing that I always say about cards that are this packed, because they've done maybe this is top to bottom
for
the,
sure,
the deepest card.
Absolutely.
But they've done stuff like they've done 3 title fight nights. And I always just feel like I'm worn out by the time they get to the juiciest stuff. But to your point, like the idea that the biggest fight of the night, the people's main event, is going to be third up before you get to the actual title fights is a little bit weird. But you know, it is what it is. Like, we know how we ended up here. They tried to go for a Hail Mary, and you know, they had to check it down. This is what they ended up with.
That's my point, though. Like, maybe I'll go to bed after the BMF and wake up and find out what happened, because Yan Jianan versus Zhang Weili and Alex Pereira in a main event versus Jamahal Hill, that would get my money if those were the 2 fights on a separate card, for sure. And I'd stay up late on a Saturday night for it. But to your point, there's what, 13 other banging fights right before that? So I think it loses maybe a little bit of its luster. Speaking of that Figueiredo Garbrandt fight, I know Cody's your boy. I like Cody Garbrandt a lot too. You think that fight's going to end in a knockout? Fight me if I say that fight definitely ends in a knockout.
No, I won't fight you if you say that. I do think it's going to end in a knockout.
I think, unfortunately,
I think it gets knocked out.
You think Figgy does, right?
I think Figgy does get knocked out. I do, but I'm buying into the Cody Garbrandt revolution. I think that he is, I think that he has found something here, and he's a dangerous striker. He's done the thing. You know, he's gone up and down the weight class. He's very clearly a bantamweight, not the flyweight. What a disaster that was for him. But I think it's, I don't think it's a super dangerous fight for Cody. I think he could definitely win this one. I get it, man. Like, look, if you go into every Cody Garbrandt fight and you're kind of like one eye open because you're worried that the first time he gets checked on the chin, he's going to go down. Totally fair. I get you. It's just, look, this is a sport that has seen Robbie Lawler leave the promotion, come back and be champion. We've seen guys have some really, really bad downs and be able to come back. Man, this guy was champion at 25 years old. And 32 years old, it's not over the hill. It's not the 35 number. He's got time. And so I just think that, he gets a win like this over Figueiredo. I think it's going to revamp people's belief in him even more. And I can't wait for it. I'm really, really excited. It's almost like I can't believe that's the one that's opening it up, because you have two former champions going at it with one another. But I can't wait for it, man. It's going to be awesome.
Two former pretty popular champions, especially on the Garbrandt side. Like, when Cody beat Dominick Cruz, that was as smooth as I've ever seen anybody look in a fight, bar none. Like, he was dancing around and he was connecting with absolutely everything. That Cody's had a weird career, as you point out. Young champion, has that fight against a future Hall of Famer. He's had a couple of unbelievably memorable knockouts. He's been knocked out a couple of times. Like, so this one, yeah, maybe this is the one that gets him back on track. Although, as much as I like Cody, y'all need to get a room. You think he could be champion again?
Look, it's a big ask. Doing the Wonder Boy thing again, because it's a very deep division. However, here's the thing that I would say. They have a very opportunistic champion, right? And they've shown with Sean O'Malley, right? They've shown with guys like Izzy, if he has the call out that's intriguing enough, that they'll kind of go in that direction. Remember, like, Izzy got to fight. He got to fight Anderson Silva, old as hell. He got to fight Yoel Romero. He got to dictate some terms. As long as you're active, they'll throw you a weird one. So I get you. Things have to break his way. But if he has a viral knockout, something that's just like, whoa, that opened up the night. Everybody's talking about it, everybody's buzzing, gets people to tune into UFC 300. It wins a bonus. Maybe he can vault. I definitely think Sean O'Malley would sign up for it. If you were like, oh, Sean, would you fight Cody Garbrandt? He'd absolutely sign up, because he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to knock his ass out. Like, I'm definitely going to fight that fight. And so there's parts of me that feel like there is a path. There's a path there for Cody, just like there was for Wonder Boy.
All right, you sold me. They've had the beef in the past. Remember when they squared off at a press conference when they weren't even fighting each other? So they've had each other's name in their mouth for a while. And also, I don't think we're that far away from O'Malley getting to call his own shots. Like, it took Conor McGregor a few years, and then it was, okay, the promotion doesn't tell Conor who he fought. Conor tells the promotion who he's going to fight.
Right.
It feels like O'Malley's getting pretty close to that.
It definitely feels like he's at that level. I think that, Merab's got such a thing with the fans right now behind him that he can't duck Merab. But I think there are other, if Merab didn't have that, like, let's just say it was Merab and Bilal Muhammad, kind of the same skill set, right? It's just that people seem to like Merab. They dig Merab. They don't like Bilal Muhammad. There's not as much support behind him, right? So I just think that with Cody, if he does something like that, and this is the thing that kind of sold me on the interview with him, is like, Sean, and I'm not saying one way is right or wrong, but Sean, like, so slow rolled his career. He said as much. I'm going to fight out my contract, and then I'm going to go to the title. Man, Cody Garbrandt, 10 fights in, you're fighting maybe the best bantamweight of all time for the belt. Like, he did not slow roll it. He was just, boom, right into the deep end. And then, like, he's thrown into this whole weird Team Alpha Male drama that sucks. And, it's a crazy first round against TJ Dillashaw, and then he gets KO'd, and it kind of just sends him down a spiral. TJ Dillashaw, turns out he was cheating the whole time. He was juiced like Bane. I don't know. There's just something about me that's like, there's I would love to see the story. And I think that if he has to do some stuff that really gets people talking about him. I don't think he can go and beat Figueiredo by decision, curtain jerk in the event. But if he does something that gets people talking about it, I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, one more of those, people will talk about it again because he's got a name. There's value to it.
Good stuff. Brendan Tobin. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, here on Tapped Out. We don't need to go too deep into it, but just if I asked you, who's the best fighter that Sean O'Malley has fought? Because we're talking about his resume and looking back now in hindsight, and he's gotten Marlon Vera a couple times, and he took on Aljamain Sterling. Let's say it at the same time and see if we have the same answer. The best fighter that he's ever fought. 3, 2, 1.
Aljo.
Yoder Jan. You're going with Aljo. Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, dude, after that last fight, I was way off of Peter Yan. And
you were so off of Peter Yan.
I was way off of him. Those last two rounds versus Song, maybe it's because I put a bunch of money on Song.
I think the words you said was something like overrated Russian pipsqueak.
Washed up. Well, I did. Okay, come on now.
I think you said something like
that. I said he was old and washed up, and maybe I called him overrated. But now I look back on it, and you know, look, let's see what Aljo does against Calvin Kattar at 300. You know, I still wonder. He's always going to be an underrated champion. It's easy to talk smack on Aljamain Sterling. Piotr Jan. Looks like he has a fight, by the way, versus Marlon Vera. Any early thoughts on that one?
I'd favor Piotr. I just think that he's, you know, look, I talked about this going into the Cheeto fight. Like, I didn't love how Cheeto was fighting. He got a fight because he had a win over O'Malley. Like, we were talking about the Cody Garbrandt, and he kind of got a sweetheart deal getting into that title shot. So, no, I would favor Jan going into that one.
Yeah, and that's what I was asking. That's Brendan. I'm the sports machine. Coming up next, we talk a little bit more fighting and we make a little bit more money together right here on the BetQL Network.